lot of faces. Most of them smiling. There's only a few that had prune juice for breakfast, I guess. God is still moving by His Spirit. He's still in control. God is going to do what He's going to do. Man is not going to be able to alter the plan of God. They fight amongst themselves and think that they're going to bring an answer to the earth, but they're not. They're full of hot air. There will not be peace upon earth until the Prince of Peace returns. There will be hopefulness, there will be glimmers, but there will not be true peace. So if you, because they're going to run around, they say, oh, there's peace here and there's peace there and there's wherever. But if you don't have the peace that passes understanding that resides in here, you're going to miss out. You've got to know Jesus, the one that brings that Prince of Peace. Father, we come to you this morning in that name of Jesus. Thankful for your word. Thankful that the blessing that is there and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that makes it alive unto us. Bless these folk this morning. Minister to all of us in that name of Jesus. Well, I already had to battle this morning. I got up and I thought, well, I got everything in order. Still not sure if I'm, I don't know where this is going to go. But I thought, well, at least I'm going to print off my notes and scripture stuff. Well, I couldn't get the printer to work. So I kept turning it off and on. Sometimes that worked. Well, it didn't work. So I took out the drum, put in a new drum, put in a new... Fiddled around with it for 20 minutes. I was just about ready to lose my religion. Anybody been there before? Yeah. I said, no, this isn't going to happen. I'm just going to write it out with my pen. You know, the enemy wants attack right when, you know, things need to happen sometimes. This morning I want to look at a real familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to look at it from a little bit of a different angle. And this is in John chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. Did you get my text there? You did. Cool. Yeah. This is at the Pool of Bethesda to refresh our memories. Once a year, an angel would come down and he'd stir the water, and the first one that got in got healed. Well, Jesus comes along, and there's this man by the pool. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. That's a fair amount of time. Quite a few of you weren't even here 38 years ago. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into that pool. But while I am trying to get there, while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." Those are the scab pickers. Years. That would be about 1986. How many were born before 1986? Okay. So you would in your mind understand that framework of time back to 86. You have maybe a rough idea of what you were doing or going through at that point in time. And moving all this way forward, 38 years, to think of all that time, you're lying on this bed and you couldn't do much of anything. Most of us here, even though we got some owies in our knees and shoulders and heads and toes, yes, I said heads, we're fairly mobile. But this man was enslaved to a position that he had no control over. He was bound there a long time. This word feeble or impotent, they're both the same word, just translated different. Asthenia means feebleness of body or of mind. And we need to understand that in our life, in the span of time in which we have lived, there has been feebleness of our flesh, and there has been feebleness of our mind. Paul addresses both of these things, doesn't he, in the scripture? And in this story here, I'm wanting to look more into the spiritual application and inferences of what's going on in this man's life and what has been going on. There's some of you that in areas of your life, you've been bound for many, many years. But you have experienced freedom, right? Steve, you experience anything? Yeah. He's no longer looking for somebody to rip off. He's no longer looking for the easy way out. And many of you were there, right? Amen. That's a testimony. I am no longer in that bondage upon that bed of despair and despicable activities. I'm no longer a bondage to the lust of the flesh. No longer in bondage to the things that I see with my eyes, the things that I hear with my ears. But I've been delivered by the blood of the Lamb. I've been sanctified. I've been put into a right relationship with the Father. I've been declared innocent because of the blood of Jesus. There's still things that we're working through. We still have things in our lives that we need help with. And I can't do it in myself. I still need the function and the unction of the Holy Spirit to continue that motivational gift to work through me so that I can receive and understand and perceive the greatness of God and what is in His heart for me. I once was a scumbag, but now I'm living for Jesus. I once was a reprobate, but now I found someone that could take my mind and cleanse it. I don't have to accept the circumstances. And some of us are still in some circumstance. where we feel that infirmity in our lives. But God wants to do a thorough and complete work. Not just a band-aid, but a thorough and complete work in every one of our lives. God's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. That's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I want to be part of that. We want to be there. As I said, I don't remember when it was, last week, week before, whatever. In that great getting up morning, I'm going to hear my voice be called. I'm going to hear my name be called. I need to see beyond my present circumstance. He saw beyond my, in the words of the musician, he saw beyond my fault and saw my need. It's not your fault that impresses God. It's whether or not the heart turns towards Him to accept the grace, the mercy, the help that's been offered. He offered that supreme sacrifice. In the words of Lincoln, upon the altar of freedom. Our freedom. Our restitution. And he asked that man, well, do you want to be made whole? Duh. You know? He's asking him, do you want a different life? Do you want something different from what you have been living? Do you want to get out of the rut that you've been in? I am tired of this. I don't want to be where I'm at. I want to be at a new place in Jesus. And according to the word, we are being changed from glory to glory, and that's a daily process through that function of sanctification, but yet we get frustrated and we look at our life and we think it's not fast enough. But if you're in the hands of God, if you have truly given it to Jesus, if you've truly brought it to the foot of the cross and laid it down and left it, then you are growing. You are moving not by your will, but by the will of the Holy Spirit that wills, moves, works in you. And He has promised that He will fulfill that thing. The old song we used to sing, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by thy Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's not by the work of swords and bows and spears or guns or fighting, it's by the Spirit of God. That word whole also has a secondary meaning to it, to be true. So he's asking, man, do you want to live a life that is true? Wow. If you make good decisions, you're going to have far better results that take place. If you make bad decisions, you're going to have a life of misery and frustration. Well, doesn't mean we still don't make a bad decision, a boo-boo here and there.
But I still, like I've said before, I pray, you know, in the morning, I say, Lord, help me to not make any more stupid decisions. Anybody need that in their life, Lord? Help me to not make any more stupid decisions. I rebuke that thought press that wants to process, that wants to lead me down some stupid rabbit trail that I don't belong there. I don't need to be looking at that. I don't need to be eating that. I don't need to be drinking that. And Lord, it's the hardest thing for people to do, but you have to give him your finances. It's hard to trust God with finances. It's mine. You can lose it real easy. If you give it to Jesus, then it's his problem. Do you want a different life? Do you want to lead a different lifestyle? Do you want to be whole? To be complete? To live a life that is true before him? He says, well, yeah, Lord, that'd be really great, but I got nobody to help me. There's a lot of people out there that don't have anybody to help them. If you're wanting something in your life, then you need to give out. You need to reach out to somebody. As great as the need may be within you, reach out to somebody else. In that process comes healing. In that process, it's like that salve of the Spirit can begin to soothe your eyes so you can see clearly what it is the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you. I don't want to remain in this blind, drunken stupor for the rest of my life. Drunken upon the things of the world, drunken upon my focus being me, 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 me. Even if it is a mini me, me. To reach out to the world. Jesus, when he talked to his disciples just before he left, he says, I send you out into all the world to preach the gospel. Well, those 12 are dead. Who's supposed to do it now? We is, that's right. We are too. And I know as many of you here, you share all the time. When you're out there in the world and you're rubbing elbows and clashing heads and whatever you do, you share Jesus. But within each one of us, there needs to be this passion. There needs to be the mentality of a missionary. The missionary has a burning desire to see people saved, to see the Word of God brought to a land, an area where it's complete ignorance concerning the things of God. Nobody has told them. How are they supposed to hear without a preacher? Well, who's going to do that? We're all available. We're all going to be held accountable. Now that you have to get up in front of somebody and preach some sermon and blah-bitty, blah-bitty. But has the work that has begun in you been able to be shared into a dark and dying world? Boy, there's some events going to be coming up, but people are going to be looking for answers. And every one of us need to be ready. So many churches across the land right now, if something was to happen between this Sunday and next Sunday, a worldwide cataclysmic event that would touch this land, and 100 people came through that door next week, can we handle it? Are we ready for that type of an influx? It can't all be put upon one or two or three people. That means that every one of us has to get a mentality, that mentality of that missionary that desires to see people saved, to see them grow in the fear, in the admonition of the Lord. And you've been chosen. Every one of you. If your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you're a potential person to go and to share. There are, like Harley said, there's a lot of hurting units out there. Many of you were hurting units at one time or another, and somebody came along and helped you. Somebody came along and spoke into your life. Somebody came along and the Holy Spirit through them gave them the unction and said, you are worth saving. You can become a valuable asset for the kingdom of God. Don't look at yourself and say, I'm nothing, I have nothing, never will be nothing. That's what the devil wants you to think. Devil wants you to stay in that place, locked up on that bed of infirmity. Jesus said, rise up. Take up that bed and walk. Go do it. We don't want to be fettered by some imaginary force that keeps us from fulfilling what God would have for our life. I'm feeling a lot of tickling going on here. Anybody getting some of this? You think my life is over? I'm done. I've seen it all, done it all. No. Like my brother said last week, he said, how many would like to spend, man, the last 5 or 10 years of your life with the Apostle Paul? How wonderful that would be. How exciting being in jail most of the time. How exciting it would be that everywhere you went, you started a riot. You have the reputation of being a terrorist. The world don't know what to do with you. The Christians aren't sure what to do with you. Oh, yeah, it'd be real exciting to be with him. You create your own space. You create your own thing. You say, Holy Spirit, use what I have. And then you, there are gifts that have never been tapped into. You all have giftings that have never been realized. Some of you have giftings that you've only seen a glimmer of the potential of what is there. But God wants to expand it. He wants to put some fertilizer on it. He wants it to grow. I forgot where I'm at. The man was obedient to Jesus' words. Jesus said, get up, take up your bed, and walk. Nice. The man did it. Are you ready to do it? Sang a little tune a couple weeks ago. I'm going to do what the Lord say do. I tried all that other stuff. Now I'm going to do what the Lord say do. I want my life to shine forth the glory of God. You may have been a miserable rascal in the past, but God don't look at that. See, all of that stuff was separated as far as the east is from the west, into the deep sea. He used several different descriptions to try to get into our mind. It's there no longer. And when you were justified, you were declared to be innocent. That stuff is no longer held against you. And a few of you are still hanging on to that. You're still struggling with what happened before. But you're a new creature. You're no longer bound by that. There is a freedom in Jesus whereby that you can begin to move forward in Jesus. I don't have to accept where I was. I don't have to accept who I was. I now need to accept where I am right now. Sons and daughters of Almighty God. Potentials for the kingdom of God. Maybe there's been some floundering around a little bit. Just stop floundering. You know, most of you know in your heart you're needing some clarification, but you know in your heart what God is asking of you. You've had an anointing of some kind in the past. The anointing did not go away. It is still there. When I got up this morning and my printer didn't work, I didn't feel too anointed. I wanted to say naughty things to that printer. And it's just an inanimate object. It has no brain. It has no feelings. But yet, I wanted to take out my frustration on this stupid printer. The only one that was going to get hurt was me. Printer don't care. He hasn't got one brain cell. It was me that would be hurt. I said, no, I'm not going down there. I'm not going down that rabbit trail. I know what the devil's trying to do here. Trying to get me so frustrated that I don't want to fulfill what he's called me to do for today. God has called every one of us for something every day. In him, we live, we move, we have our existence, our being. Why are you here? Most of you are here because you have a desire. I want to get to the next step. And it is so important that we fellowship with the saints. Like my dad used to say, there's no lone rangers. It's very rare. But we're to help one another, encourage one another, build one another up. We exalt the name of Jesus together. We lift up his holy name together. In our mind, we need to understand all the saints and angels that are gathered around the throne. And they start to sing, holy, holy, holy. And the 24 take off their crowns and they lay them at his feet. Amazing. We're going to be there with them. We're going to be part of that heavenly host. And then we're coming back here. We may not want to. No, Jesus is going to come back, and we're coming back with him. And we're going to rule and reign with him. Man, you're going to get your brain fixed. Clear back there, he said, yeah. Our minds are going to be different. They're not going to be encumbered with the weight of the world any longer. I feel it in my life. I can't remember. I don't know how long it took me to remember Rocky's name this morning. And in some cases, that's offensive. And I don't like it. I can't remember somebody at work that's been there for 2 or 3 years. And I'm thinking, I'm losing it. It's frustrating. Because that's part of communication. And the Holy Spirit said to me, this is part of the process of death. It's ugly. It's nasty. It's wicked. It hurts people. It frustrates people. But it's part of this earthly existence. And a little kid there saying, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When we all see Jesus, we're going to sing. We're going to shout the victory. In the meantime, we have to show mercy and grace towards people like me that are losing it. I know I'm not clear over the edge yet, but just frustration and not being able to remember somebody's name and to remember things that I used to know. Some things I used to know, that's fine. Go away. How many's got some of those? Oh, yeah, yeah. You can just stay away from me. But I want to know the things that's necessary to know. Most of all, I want to know Jesus. And this man was obedient. And therefore, being able to get himself out of that place of despondency, be able to get himself out of that place that whereby he had been in shackles for many years. Some of you have been there. Some of you still are there in places and areas of your life. Jesus is the only one that can break those chains and to give you true freedom, to bring into your life that peace that passes all understanding, helps us to get over the humps and the bumps of life. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've been liking those Sunday night services we have once a month. The main emphasis there is supposed to be prayer, but sometimes I think I went through 15, 20 songs last time. And I just see the people, they're sitting there and they're swaying in their seats. And you can tell, man, the Holy Spirit is moving on this bunch. It's moving on them. We want that. To feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're not in the completeness of that yet, but we're working towards it. How many are still wanting the Holy Spirit to really move in our midst? Look at all those hands. We got some good this morning, but it's going to get gooder. Freedom in the Holy Spirit, so that those words of prophecy come forth. that the mind of God for right now, for this people in this place, can be shared. There's some of you here that spirit of prophecy is upon. You've thought about it. You've wondered about it. Don't stop. Just continue to pray for the freedom of the Holy Spirit to move in your and then through your life. The Holy Spirit, and I've said this before, has been shut out of many churches. It's not been allowed. But the Holy Spirit is a sensitive part of the Godhead. When he don't feel welcome, he's not going to be there. We need to have him feel, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And corporately, we sing those words, and don't just sing the words, but allow it to penetrate into who you are, the very depths of your being. Holy Spirit, we want you here. We invite you here. We need this function in this body of Christ. And the very last part of this, once those Jews, they see this guy walking down the street carrying his bed. Man, you don't deserve to be free. You don't deserve to be well. They're just jealous. They got nothing going on in their life, so they want to pick on your life. And they see that there's a healing process going on, and like I said before, we all got a few scabs. They want to come and they want to pick at them. They think somehow it's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit to pick scabs. It's not in that word. And if you have that tendency, you need to rebuke that thing in yourself. Say, Father, I want this brought under control. Anybody brave enough to say, I have done some of that kind of thing in my life? Yeah. You've had it done to you, and you've done it to others. Father, we want to bring this thing under control this morning in people's lives. We want to be able to function under the fear of the Lord, to hate evil, especially when it rises up in me. You said that proud and that forward mouth, you hate those things. And if I want to walk in the fear of the Lord, those are the things I'm going to have to get under control in my life. I don't want to be some nasty scab picker. That's completely contrary to the Word of God. I rebuke that thing in this congregation. I rebuke it in the lives of people that are suffering with that. And those that have been picked on, and those that have been accused, those that have heard the words, you're not worth it. We rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Because we all are worth it. Jesus died because we were worth it. Anybody here this morning is suffering with some of these types of things I dealt with, and you want some prayer, I invite you to come up here right now. Get up out of that place. Get up off of that bed, that shackles. Because Jesus wants to continue to bring freedom into your life. You don't have to stay where you were. And there's no shame in saying, I'm still dealing with some stuff. Move on over here. There's more coming. This man was in a hopeless situation. Nobody would help him, but he knew he needed help. He was able to recognize the fact, I need help, and I don't want to be in this place any longer. get out of that place. Allow Jesus to minister to you this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you come and help me?
On the way here this morning, the Lord gave me a scripture. And I went over it in my mind and in my heart. And then when I got here, the Lord gave it to me during the song. It says, I need you, Jesus. And then as Paul was preaching here, now I gave it a third time. So I believe I'm supposed to share it. But Paul says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 20. He says, since we, therefore, are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Look about you. There's people that's gone on ahead of us. And Paul talked about that. They're rejoicing in the Lord right now. But there's also those that are around us. He says, put down every sin and weight that's been entangling us and ensnaring us. I don't want to admit it to you this morning, but I'm one of them people he's talking about that sometimes I've picked somebody's scab. And I've had my scabs picked more than once. In fact, I had some scab picking yesterday. And it's not good. But Paul says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, your story's not done yet because he's not done writing your story. Who for the joy, how many want joy? Not just happiness, but want joy in your life. Jesus endured. And since he tells us in John 14, he says, the things that I do now, greater things are you going to do, amen? You can have that same joy, but it starts with a surrender. If that guy would have been just staying at the pool and never said nothing, woe is me, nothing would have happened. But today is your day to stand up and say, I want deliverance. I want freedom that I cannot accomplish on my own. Ain't that right, John? Things that I cannot do on my own. But Lord, I surrender all. Because I need you, Jesus. Wasn't that a good word this morning? That's powerful. That's powerful stuff. It's life-changing stuff. And I'm going to say this boldly. We all should be up here this morning. All of us should be up here this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray. If you're not coming for prayer, then I want you to stretch your arms out, and I want you to pray.